Please pray with me. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Help us now to hear and obey what you say to us today. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Our first covenant text this morning comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Our new covenant text comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against him from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart." The word of the Lord.
So that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The current context of today's sermon offered lots of possibilities. Matt gave me great latitude. He said I could do whatever I wanted to do. I could continue on in the Joshua text. I could take my own text. Because Annalise did such a great job on the text about the walls of Jericho falling down, I was tempted to talk about the wholesale destruction of Jericho and the slaughter of all their people, but I'm not on the payroll, so I'm leaving that one for Matt. John Thompson suggested the daylight savings time would be appropriate for me to preach about Joshua chapter 10 and when the sun stood still, but I'll leave that for him. And of course, the election is this week, and well, there may be one or two thoughts in there, let the reader understand. But what I decided to do instead was to focus on the notion of All Saints Day. I don't know what tradition you grew up in. You might be here today thinking about All Saints Day and trying to think, isn't that just the day that we recover from the like sugar binge of Halloween or something? All Saints Day is actually really a critical part of the church calendar that often gets overlooked. And sometimes it is just because it seems so Catholic, for crying out loud. And some of you may not know this, I was raised Catholic. My grandfather's name is Guido Evangelisti. That's the truth of my. So I say that as a Presbyterian, I was predestined to be an evangelical. But there's something about this tradition that we often miss, and indeed, some of our best Protestant hymns actually help us here. They remind us that one of the resources we have for faithfulness in the present and for discernment about the future is the example of our ancestors in the past. "We on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Alleluia, alleluia." It's a really important moment in the life of the church to take a moment and remember that our faithfulness today is really a product, and our experience today, a product of people who've come before us. And that's why I love what we just said to the children and what we're going to get to do later. And indeed, that's why we even have texts like Joshua 1. So that Joshua, in a new day, taking over a new ministry, moving from the wilderness into the land, will not forget that God was with Moses and that God gave them the word of God that they are to take into this new land, so that they would not forget. It's why we have texts like Hebrews chapter 11, so that the entire church will remember that part of our spiritual ancestry is Moses and Joshua and Rahab and so many others. Abraham Joshua Heschel said, all the Bible teaches can be summarized in one word: remember. So again, you're about to prepare to come to the table, to take communion, to remember what Jesus did for us, to really remember it. And you will be coming today thinking about people who passed on that faith to you. I hope that as we go through this sermon, that person is just right there in your mind and maybe even their name on their lips. For me, I tell you, when I light the candle, the name will be Al. Al was an elder in the church who was on the PNC that called us to San Clemente Presbyterian. Al was 68 years old when we went to San Clemente, and he said to me, when Enid and I, his wife, his name was Enid, they were both from Iowa, when Enid and I knew that I was going to be on the PNC calling the pastor, we committed at that moment that whoever God called to be the pastor, we would commit our life to. And that we discerned at that moment that we would do everything we possibly could to make sure that that pastor, whoever it was, would have a great ministry and a great life. And they did. They watched our children every week, so as our children were growing up, so that we could have a date night when we barely had enough money to afford the movie, let alone the babysitting. They came on session. They served as elders. They loved us and supported us and stayed with us all the way through. And to this very day, I think about my ministry with pastors and even the people that I work with on my staff at Fuller with the hope that I will embody that vision that they will have, because of my efforts, a great ministry and a great life. And I will remember faithfully Al's presence in my life today. Now, this kind of remembering was actually pretty tricky for Israel, because sometimes their remembering led them into a kind of nostalgia, and it made them want to live in the past. And they began to honor the past for the sake of securing the status quo. And every single time they did that, the scripture disrupts them and corrects them on that. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. We are never to live in nostalgia. We are never to live in the past. We're to find ways instead for the past to be able to enable us to be faithful with our present and our future. So the first thing I want to say out of the passage today is we don't look back just to look back. We look back to go forward. And especially in times of great disruption and change in the life of the people of God, there was this moment of interruption. If you've read like passages in the exile, like in Isaiah 43, the God who says to them over and over and over again, remember, remember, remember. The God who lays before them literally, remember what I did in the Exodus. When they get into the exile, in Isaiah 43, he says, do not remember. Three chapters later, he's going to tell them to remember again. But when they're in this moment of exile, he tells them to stop remembering because they are unable to see the new thing that he is doing. Jesus has to rebuke the traditional folks in the life of the church, reminding them that new wineskins are needed for new wine. And my favorite example of this is actually with the disciples themselves after Pentecost. Jesus is risen from the dead. He spends about 6 weeks with them, teaching them some the significances of his resurrection. He takes them out of aside of Jerusalem. He begins to charge them about what their mission will be, and they immediately say, hey, is this finally it? Is this when we're going to get to go finally invade Rome? Is this it? Is this when you're going to restore power to us? Are you going to restore power to the city of David? Is this it? Is this the moment? Now that we got this like resurrection thing down, is this it? Jesus waves the question away. He doesn't even tolerate it. He says there will be a time, and you cannot even know the time when finally the kingdom will come. But for you, you're to do your job. You're to be witnesses. Jesus did not come to make Israel great again. And it's not about the nostalgia that sets us in the past. The book of Hebrews is really a wrestling with what does it mean that we have this Jesus if we're going to be faithful Jews who now believe in Jesus? How does Jesus transform our beliefs and help us be faithful to our beliefs? This is really important. When you're in moments of change, when you're in the midst of a culture of change, a family that's going through change, institutions like some of us going through change, one of the things that is a great asset for you is figuring out really, really clearly what's never going to change. Leadership writer Jim Collins puts it this way. You must first decide what's never going to change. Because once you're clear on what will never change, you must then be prepared to change everything else. And change is really hard for us. Whether it's sending our kids off to college, whether it's entering into a new season of life, whether it's having to deal with our own aging bodies, whether it's having to deal with a culture that's in the midst of a massive amount of disruption, we're not good at change. Alan Dutchman wrote a book that was called Change or Die. Great title, right? And what he studied was the people who were told by their doctors they need to change or die. So people who literally had that moment where the doctor looked at them soberly after finishing a physical and said to them, look, why don't you pull your clothes on and meet me back in the office? And some of you have been through this or been through it with a loved one. And it's a horrible moment because you know these doctors who are experts at the medicine are horrible at this moment. But you've seen that happen where the doctor walks in and with all of the authority they possibly can, they open up the file, they look you in the eye, and they would say, listen, the facts are clear. If you don't change your life today, you're going to die. If you have one more drug, one more drink, one more cigarette, one more Twinkie, you're going to die. You got to change today. And what they did, what Alan Dutchman discovered in studying people who'd had that conversation is that if you had someone with the authority of a doctor and you had somebody who had the facts of a medical report, the sobriety of the moment, and the focused attention, then only 90% of them will die. That we hate change. And in moments of transformation and moments of change, we will prefer to die. Which is where so many of our churches are today and where so many of us are today in our culture, which is always why we are tempted to the nostalgia and the status quo. The heart of the people of God is the courage to continue on, to be faithful to the mission of God in a changing circumstance, which is why Rabbi Ed Friedman said that the greatest leadership challenge was to succumb to what he called a failure of nerve, to lose heart. Once you're clear on what never changes, you must be then prepared to change everything else. But what you need to be able to have the courage to be able to make those changes is to make sure that you are focused on what should never, ever change. So if you know me at all, you know that if you follow me on Facebook about every couple times every year, you will see wonderful pictures of me in the wilderness. It is my great love to be in nature. And I grew up going to national parks, and I love and give praise to my parents for taking us to national parks. As a little boy with two rambunctious sons, my parents told us there was one ironclad rule in every national park. You have to stay on the trail. No cutting the trails, no running down the slides, no going off the trail. For one thing, because the first rule is don't die, and that will keep you from dying. But the second rule was stay on the trail. Now, I didn't understand the principle behind it, but in places like the national parks where they got millions and millions of visitors, you keep people on the trail because the key principle is how do we preserve this amazing place for the next generation? So in order to have the principle of preserving this for the generation, the rule is stay on the trail. So I, of course, as a good parent wanting to pass on my national park values to my children, taught them the exact same rules. So when we went to Denali National Park, my son and I got off at the end of this long bus ride to a visitor center that's in the middle of the park, and we decided we wanted to do some hiking, so we did what we usually do, which is we went to the visitor center and we said, could you recommend a trail for us? And they went, nope. I went, no, we would like to go for a hike. Is it possible to hike? Yes. Well, what's your recommendation? Go wherever you want. Oh, wait a minute, like we want to preserve the place, we don't want to get off. So if you could just tell us a good trail, we'll get on that trail. They said, nope, but we'd like to go hiking. Yeah, good, go wherever you want. I said, finally, Is there any place we shouldn't go? Well, if you'd like to not run into grizzly bears, avoid this place and this place. But besides that, go wherever you want. Finally, I looked at him and said, are there no trails you can recommend? And she looked at me and she said, there are no trails. What? You see, we want to preserve this place, the beauty of the nature of this place, and we get so few people that we don't have any trails. And so what we don't want is anybody making a trail. We have one rule, don't make a trail. You see, the principle is the same. Preserve this for the next generation. The practice is different. Stay on the trail in Yosemite. Don't make a trail in Denali. And what you start to recognize is that what we have to do when we talk about what will never change are the kinds of things that are central to our core values, our core beliefs, so that we will be able, by focusing on them, to have courage to continue on. Joshua is told, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Be careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or the hand or the left, so you may be successful wherever you go. When I was at San Clemente Presbyterian as the pastor, we had this great saint whose name would also be on my lips if I was given two candles. Her name was Ruth. Ruth just celebrated 100th birthday, at least on Facebook she did. A bunch of us wrote posts. She's passed on at least 10 years ago. She used to walk up to me every single week after service, and she would say to me, hey, boy, she could call me boy. Hey, boy, I pray for you every day, boy. I pray for you every day. I would say, Ruth, thanks so much. We're in the middle of this giant building campaign with dust everywhere, disruption everywhere, debt everywhere, 9 years of this. People are just kind of cranky. If you could pray that I could be, she goes, I don't pray for that. I said, "What, Ruth, what do you pray for? She said, I pray for this. I pray that you will preach the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation faithfully every single week. That's what I pray for, boy. That in the midst of everything else going on, you don't forget that we need you to preach us the word. Pray for that, boy. I pray for that. Yes, ma'am, Ruth. Yes, ma'am. For Hebrews, in the midst of this in the book of Hebrews, in the midst of this transition, Jewish Christians, Gentile, maybe Hellenistic Jewish Christians, trying to figure out how do you be faithful to our tradition? How do we follow Jesus? They were reminded in Hebrews 11, there are all these people who were faithful, faithful, faithful. You focus on Jesus, and you will not lose heart. Keep Jesus central. When the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on earth the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Alleluia, alleluia. In moments of great change, courage comes from focusing on what would never change. And while this may be the most presumptuous, and in some circles, even controversial, I think as a Presbyterian church, we could say really clearly, we actually have some things that we know will never change. What never changes for us is the call to the mission of God, the authority of the Word of God, and the commitment to the people of God. Or to put it another way, keep going. Keep looking at Jesus and listening to the Word, and keep together. Keep going. Stay faithful to the mission. That's why a community of God exists. That's why we're here. We are here to fulfill the mission of the Creator God who is redeeming all of creation. We're here to be the people of God who fulfills God's covenant promise that through His people the world will be saved. That's our mission. And whether it's Joshua going into the promised land or whether it's us stepping into a new day, that's why we exist. We go in, they went into the land, we go into the world. We are to be the answer to the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That doesn't change. Keep going. Stay faithful to the mission. Follow Jesus. So also keep looking at Jesus and keep listening to Jesus' word. Do not depart from the law, they would say. Do not go away from the word of God central to us, they would say. When you're looking at Jesus, you're also listening to Jesus' own words. And that's why today I've found myself more and more in our cultural context going back to one of our Presbyterian confessions called the Declaration of Barman that was written in another time and place when nations were beginning to flirt with the idea of over-identifying Christianity with patriotism. Jesus Christ, as he has attested for us in Holy Scripture, is the one word of God which we are to hear and which we are have to trust and obey in life and in death. Jesus Christ, as attested to us in Scripture, is our one word we obey. Keep going. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep listening to the word and keep together. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We are surrounded, and because we are surrounded by the saints of all the time, if you've never had the experience, go to the LA Cathedral and either attend worship or even go to a day when it is completely empty and notice the tapestries on the walls. They capture this verse in tapestry. They have long hallways. The entire cathedral is filled with a tapestry of the great mystic sweet communion of the saints that surround us in worship. And they, some of them, you look up and you'll see that they've got names: St. Augustine, St. Thomas, St. Aquinas, Rahab, Ruth. And others of them are more contemporary names: Mother Teresa, John Paul the 23rd, John Paul II. And then others of them are just nameless and faceless, of every tribe and background and nation. And you're to find yourself in that great throng because they're not drawing attention to themselves. They're looking to the front. They're looking to Jesus. And they remind us that when we worship, we are not worshiping alone, but we are worshiping being surrounded by the saints of the church who faithfully were the people of God who looked to Jesus. The communion of saints calls us to look ahead, to go ahead, to be faithful, to remember the most important principles and be willing to make changes for the mission that we need to make. In Alan Dutchman's book, Change or Die, he actually talks about, he does this interesting thing. He does a study, it's called a positive deviant study. He studies the 10% that actually changed. He decided not to study the 90% who made excuses, but study the 10% that changed. And what he found was this: the things that people think will bring change don't work at all. This is very depressing, but fear doesn't bring change, facts don't bring change, and force doesn't bring change, which I call, these are a few of my favorite things. None of them work, right? But what does bring change, along with some other things, is relationships. People change because of relationships. If you want to change your life, change the relationships. If you're walking on the wrong path, get in with a crowd that's walking on the right path. So to be in relationship with other people, we radically are willing to go through painful changes for our people. And so to be in relationship with other people, to be in this new community, is very important. And to be reminded that as Christians, in days of turmoil and foment, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who will say to us, don't look at us, look at Jesus. Don't just listen to us. Listen to us as we listen to the Word. Don't stay back with us. Run the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus. We don't look back to go back. We look back to go forward. In moments of great change, courage, the heart of the people, comes from focusing on what should never change. And what never changes is the call of the mission of God, the authority of the Word of God, and the commitment to the people of God. Keep going. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep listening to the Word, and keep together.